Thank you. I reckon I've got the toughest gig of the day. You've just all eaten, your tummies are full, you're ready to have a little nana nap. And it's quite warm in here, so all of those things are working against me, but hopefully you'll manage to stay awake and stay with me. Let me start by praying. God, I do want to thank you that you are in the business of transforming us day by day. And God, I pray that as I share some of my journey today, God, that you would encourage others. You'd encourage others to be able to put their hand up and say, me too. But also to step into the journey of saying yes to you and all that you call us to, God. So God, I pray that it wouldn't be my words today, but you would take them and you would do immeasurably more with them in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I, you know what, before I start, I am going to just put my watch on air mode because my daughter keeps trying to text me and it's very distracting when your watch vibrates. I was one of those really crazy kids who knew no fear. At least I pretended that I didn't because I was really about impressing other people and especially impressing the boys. I used to just love climbing things and jumping off at great heights. I would just climb whatever I could find, especially if there was an audience, and I would just jump off. One of my favourite was those old A-frame swings we used to have in the backyard, and I would shimmy up the side of it, which if I tried that now, I'd only get maybe a foot off the ground if I'm lucky. So that in itself was a great feat. I'd shimmy up the side, and I'd climb right to the top and just jump over and over again. As I got older, I still loved climbing things, but when it came to jumping from great heights, I became a lot more cautious. The adrenaline-seeking tomboy in me just kind of shifted perspective a little bit. And I'm not sure exactly when that happened. They say that with age comes wisdom. And maybe also the realisation that I could genuinely hurt myself by jumping off things. And like I said, I wasn't even willing to do it to impress the boys anymore. It wasn't long before I had my own kids and I watched them start to get adventurous and do crazy things. Thankfully, not as crazy as me, but I'd watch them climb to great heights and jump off cliffs into water and do crazy things like that. And I'd just stand back and be willing to take the photos. That was my role and it stopped me from stepping out into fear-filled spaces. But somewhere along the line, the journey in my story, fear took hold. It became an integral part of who I was. Somewhere along the way, fear became the loudest voice in my head. And it wasn't actually the fear of jumping off high things to prove myself. But fear consumed me on so many levels. I was just kind of sharing with the women before. And it stopped me from taking great leaps of faith. It wasn't rational, but it was completely debilitating. I struggled to even answer emails and phone calls and make appointments at the worst times of my fear. It consumed me, and it paralyzed me and stopped me from saying yes to the things that I knew God was calling me to. I knew in my head that he'd gifted me and he'd called me to things, and the fear that was overwhelming me stopped me from saying yes. Fear of consequences of my actions, fear of what others would think of me, fear because of my low self-esteem and my insecurities, and fear that others wouldn't think that I was good enough or capable, fear of failure, fear of being wrong, fear because some of the challenges that I was going through was too great. Fear and anxiety, they go hand in hand, and I found in this season of my life it was so overwhelming, and I sought different types of help. I went to doctors, I went to counselling, I had lots of prayer ministry over me, I was even on medication at multiple different times. And honestly, I don't want to today minimise anybody else's journey with fear and anxiety. And I know that we can often experience it in different ways. Oh, it's a truck. I thought it was a dramatic sound effect. I just want to say that whatever your story and whatever your experience and whatever your ways of coping, that fear is a prevalent issue in our society today. And it stops us from living truly transformed lives. You can't live a transformed life when you're overcome with fear and anxiety. And statistics would tell us that there's many of us in this room who are struggling to overcome fear. Not that we would always like to admit it or show it. God knew that there was something in our humanity that would struggle in us to overcome fear. You know, there are 365 references in the Bible where God tells us not to be afraid. 365, that's one for every day of the year, because God knew that fear was something that we would struggle with. And today I just want to share some of my journey with you in overcoming fear and anxiety, and hope and pray that something of my story brings you a greater freedom, a greater transformation than you've ever known before. Or maybe it will give you insight, if this isn't something that you struggle with, to walk alongside somebody else who does. About 7 years ago, God really challenged this fear that had been in me since a young teenager. And he made me face up to it in a way that I never had before. Because I know, looking back, that God wanted to bring healing and he wanted to bring freedom to me. And he had some things that he was wanting me to step into that I had been resisting. He had bigger plans for my future. And some of you need to hear right now that God's got bigger plans for your future than you're taking hold of right now. He's got bigger plans for you. And I hope I challenge you today to take the next step into those. See, I could have kept ignoring God. And if I did, I would still be living a small life, too overwhelmed with fear to achieve anything much at all. But it wasn't miraculous or instant, unfortunately. It took me a whole lot of time and a whole lot of leaning into God. It was hard work, but I stand here now and say it was worth the effort. The healing journeys that God has for us and the transformation that he wants to take us through is often not instantaneous, but there's something on the journey that helps us to grow stronger and stronger as we lean into him. And that was my story. And it all started as I one day was reading the story of Peter. Not the story Jason was talking about this morning, but Peter walking on water. You know, he was an ordinary guy, a fisherman, who had chosen to leave his fishing boat and his career behind and follow Jesus. And he'd been with Jesus for some time and he'd seen him do some incredible miracles. In fact, where this story begins, he had just seen Jesus feed the 5,000 from five loaves and two fishes on the side of the hill. So he'd seen Jesus do some incredible miracles. And I'm sure this would have been taking Peter to great new levels of faith and understanding. And from Peter's journey of stepping out in faith through his own fears, it's actually taught me so much, and I hope today as I read this story that it will challenge your fears and help you to overcome. And we read it from Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd, while he sent off the 5,000 plus that he had just fed. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you are Peter. You're in the boat with the other disciples, and there's a massive storm raging around you. And unlike these days, you've never learned to swim. You can't swim. None of these disciples could swim. So there's a really good reason they're sitting there in the middle of a storm in a boat that's rocking to and fro, waves are crashing everywhere. It's a good reason to be afraid, because if you go over, you'll drown. You can't swim, you can't save yourself. So these 12 disciples are sitting in the boat, desperately trying not to capsize. The boat, out there in the wind and the waves, the boat is your only place of safety. Honestly, when I read this story, I think it's hard enough to imagine walking on water in calm seas when there's not a ripple and the sea is glassy. Imagine in a storm like this, contemplating even getting out of the boat when you can't swim. Would you do it? Would you take the challenge of walking on water? Can you see yourself climbing over the edge of the boat and walking to Jesus? You've got no swimming ability, no life jacket, no buoy, no lifeline, just lots and lots of wind and waves between you and Jesus. Would you do it? Or do you stay in the safety of your boat along with the other 11 disciples? See, leaving the boat doesn't make any sense. And I reckon one of the biggest challenges is simply to get out of the boat. To walk on water or to walk in obedience to what God is calling you to do, you've actually got to get out of the boat. Out of the place that you feel safe and comfortable. It's scary. It's a risky thing to do. And as I studied this story 7 years ago, I was actually overcome with the conviction that I'd been trying to live a safe life. I was trying to avoid fear and anxiety by playing it safe. My boat was comfortable. It was safe. Why rock the boat and do something to risk my comfortableness? I mean, if I was afraid, surely that wouldn't be God calling me to do something. Surely if I was fearful, it wasn't God, right? You know, at the time I'd been asked to run some women's events at church. And it overwhelmed me with irrational fear and doubt. I couldn't do it. I'm not good enough. It was a bigger group of women than I was ever used to walking alongside before. Who on earth would want to listen to me? Who would want to work with me? All the irrational thoughts and fears. Jason at the time had been encouraging me to be part of our prayer team down the front of church, and I shared a little bit about this last night, but it petrified me to pray on the spot, out loud, with people. And I used to be the person in the first or second row who, as soon as the call to prayer came, I would stand there with my eyes closed like this and pretend I was in some deep, you know, moment with God, just so that I wouldn't get asked to pray with somebody down the front. I was petrified. The problem was that the more I tried to stay in the safety of my boat, not step outside my comfort zone and do the things that I knew God was challenging me to do, rather than keep fear at bay, it actually exacerbated it. It actually made it worse. Have you ever noticed that? That when we live in disobedience of what we actually know God is calling us to do or asking us to do, the fear and anxiety that we hold actually increases rather than decreases. You know, fear is one of, I believe, Satan's greatest tools against us. And what I thought was me being safe was actually crippling me. I was living a very small life, and I was looking at every challenge through the filter of fear, and it made me physically sick. I had heart palpitations that I couldn't get rid of. I had constant nausea through worry, and it became so bad that there didn't actually have to be a reason for it. It was just there. It was a constant presence, and I had no peace. Maybe some of you knows how that feels. Or maybe even just to a smaller degree, you feel that or you sense it. And I want to challenge that today. But I realized for me that I didn't want to keep living in that kind of fear. I couldn't have kept going with that kind of fear. And so my journey began. And I want to share with you, there's so many things out of this that we can take hold of. And I want to share with you today just three things that God really taught me and spoke to me through this season. And there are three things that, to be honest, I still have to keep reminding myself daily along the way as I journey with fear. And the first is that following Jesus will always involve a little fear. I don't think as Christians we actually want to hear that, but it's the truth. And it's one of the hardest truths that I've come to understand, that the choice to say yes to Jesus, the choice to follow him and get out of the boat, will always involve fear. But every time I want to grow in my faith, it will involve doing something new, taking on a new challenge and taking a risk. And each time I do that, I guarantee I'm going to feel fear all over again. The fear will never go away as long as I'm moving forward and growing and stretching myself. Because when we grow, it will always involve doing something new, taking on that new challenge or taking a risk. In fact, if we're not experiencing a little bit of fear, we're not being challenged. And chances are we're not growing. We're just living safe, staying in the safety of our boat. Fear will always try and make us live a smaller life and keep us in the boat. It'll stop us from trying to move on rather than stepping out into the more that God has for us, especially if it's unknown. The problem is that we often allow fear to sit in the driver's seat of our lives instead of in the passenger seat where it belongs. And this morning, I just want us to get some perspective on that. See, when we let fear sit in the driver's seat, we allow it to be in control. We allow it to shape the decisions that we make, the directions that we take. Instead of acknowledging it, fear, you are there, but I'm putting you in your place. You are not controlling the decisions that I make. But Peter in this story, he has a moment where he's experiencing incredible fear, genuine fear for his life. His life was on the line. And what does he do? He decides to get out of the boat. He decides to push his fear to the passenger seat and do what Jesus was calling him to do. See, his eyes weren't on the circumstances around him or on the insurmountable obstacles he'd have to overcome to walk on water. By focusing on Jesus, Peter found the courage that he needed to step out of the boat. When we say yes to Jesus, when we step out of the boat, even when we're afraid, we start to see the possibilities open up before us. And like Peter, I want to encourage you, just do it. Do it afraid and see what God does with your yes. When we say yes and do it afraid, he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. It's become my life motto. Yes, Jesus, I'm choosing to do it afraid. The second thing this journey has taught me is that fear diminishes when we focus on Jesus. See, Peter could have waited for the perfect conditions for walking on water. He could have said, Jesus, if you make the waves calm down and the water just crystal clear, then I'll come to you. But he didn't. Jesus said, come, and Peter instantly climbed over the side of the boat. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus and he began to walk on water. That's cool. The problem is, somewhere along the way, Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he focused them instead on the impossibility of the circumstances. And because he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at his circumstances, he began to drown. I wonder how often we've started off with really good intentions of following Jesus, only to realize that what he's asking of us and calling us to do is impossible for us. How often have we felt like failures because we start out so strong, only to end up not succeeding or giving up? How often have we got out of the comfort of our boat only to focus on the circumstances instead of on Jesus? Unfortunately, that's often where our focus is, on the circumstances that seem impossible and overwhelming, rather than on the God who knows how to manage the wind and the waves. The God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. It's stepping into his strength and his power that allows us to overcome the circumstances and the obstacles that hold us back. You know, we've got plenty of good excuses not to try, plenty of good excuses not to step out of our comfort zone. It'll often be painful. It will involve sacrifice. It may change a whole lot of things. It may involve crisis, opportunity, often failure, usually fear, sometimes suffering, and always the calling to do something that is too big for us to do alone. But the water, with all its danger and its turmoil, is exactly where Jesus is. See, the thing about this story that really changed my perspective and helped me to step out and do it afraid was as I imagined being Peter on the water and looking back to the boat. What do you see when you look back? When you look back at that boat, there was 11 disciples that never knew what it was like to walk on water with Jesus. They were too scared to leave the boat. And in that moment, I realized I didn't want that to be me. I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity to walk on water with Jesus, to step out in faith and do some incredible things that he was putting before me. I didn't want my story to be that I was too afraid to get out of the boat. Rather, I'd stay and I'd cling to the mast and let somebody else take those great steps of faith. I didn't want that to be me. And in that moment of revelation, it gave me the courage to step in to some new things, to push aside my fear and get out of the boat. So I made the commitment with God that when he asked me to do some things that made me scared or uncomfortable, things that took me way outside my comfort zone and I was used to saying no to, used to going to that default position in my head and saying that's too much, as long as they were reasonable, I would say yes. Like I said, my life's motto became just do it afraid. Say yes and do it afraid. I didn't want to miss out. But it wasn't a miraculous transformation. It wasn't an instant heal from fear and anxiety as I made those decisions. I was doing it afraid a lot. Heart palpitations still there, still stepping out, trying to be courageous. But as I kept my eyes focused on Jesus and allowed him to become greater and more powerful than my fears and my anxieties, my journey of overcoming began. And I'm so encouraged by Peter's story and his journey of faith. When we look at Peter's life, he didn't always have it all together. He wasn't suddenly the great man of faith who walked on water with Jesus. Which brings me to my third point, that Peter didn't go from zero to hero instantly. You know, this was a great moment for Peter of walking on water with Jesus. He looks incredibly brave. Nothing holds him back in that moment from jumping over the side of the boat. There's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no doubts. But Peter didn't just get to this moment of bravery in an instant. You heard Jason talking this morning of the early part of Peter's journey with Jesus, where Jesus, you know, they've caught no fish all night. And Jesus says to Peter, throw your nets on the other side. And what Jesus is asking him to do doesn't make any sense. It's like they were saying, Jesus, we're the experienced fishermen here. Who are you to say how we should fish? But what was Peter's response to Jesus in that moment? Because you say so. Because you say so. You know, there was no real risk for Peter in this moment of throwing the net on the other side of the boat. He might have looked a bit like an idiot if he pulled the net up and there was no fish in it. But apart from that, it wasn't life-threatening. There wasn't any real risk in being obedient. But Peter saw Jesus do a miracle because he was obedient. You know, walking on water a little later on is a much greater risk for Peter to take. It's a greater yes that he said to Jesus. If this went pear-shaped, he would drown. But what does Peter say? If you say so, I will come. Because you say so, I'll throw my nets on the other side. And if you say so, I will come to you on water. You see, what had gone on in between those two stories for Peter was an incredible journey of faith, of walking alongside Jesus and seeing him do miracle after miracle after miracle. He listened to his teaching. He was growing in this understanding of who Jesus was and the power that he had. His faith had grown as he'd seen Jesus do all these amazing things. He didn't go from zero to hero instantly. He didn't go from having no faith to being full of faith. He didn't go from taking small risks to suddenly walking on water all at once. It was a journey of transformation. One step of faith at a time. One yes after another. And the same was true for me. Unfortunately, fear didn't disappear all at once. My yeses started out small. And I, like I said, was full of fear every single time. Yes to praying for people down the front. Yes to organising women's events. Gradually, my yeses became bigger. I accepted the role as women's pastor. I said yes to hosting services at church. I said yes to taking women's mission teams to Cambodia. I said yes to speaking at Ballarat Conference. God, the things you put before me, I'll say yes. And I'll just choose to do it afraid. Interestingly enough, the fear didn't get bigger with my bigger yeses. It actually diminished. The more courageous I got in stepping out in faith, the more fear took its place in the passenger seat, not in the driver's seat. I'd learnt the faithfulness of God. I learnt to trust Him to greater depths. I learnt that God really could do immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine, not because of me, but all because of Him. And I just had to be willing to say the next yes and do it afraid. Now some of the things that used to cause me the greatest fear bring me the greatest joy. I actually love praying for people. I love speaking God's truth and insight into people's lives and seeing God transform them. I'm passionate about growing a community of women where every woman finds a place that they can belong, that they can grow together and in relationship with God and really thrive. And before I knew it, I found myself on the preaching roster. That still makes me quite afraid. And leading multiple teams of women in multiple spaces. Initiating our own women's conference was a massive yes for me. And our second one, as Mark said earlier, was just last weekend. And we had over 400 women and youth from across all our campuses and other churches in Brisbane gather together. And I'm not telling you that number to, make you in awe. I'm telling you that number because I was scared spitless. But when we say yes to Jesus, when we step out in faith, we see Him do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. I still often have to take a deep breath and say, God, I'm doing it afraid. And I still more often than not feel inadequate. But I'm going to keep faithfully saying the next yes. Because I've come to terms with the fact that my fear will always be there if I am growing and being stretched. And I want that to be the case. But my fear doesn't have to control me. And when it does, when it overwhelms me, I have my safe people to process my fears and my doubts with. Logical people like Jason who says, Susan, it's not all about you. Get on with it. I need to hear that. Because it's not about me. Save people who cheer me on and encourage me to be brave and step out in faith. We all need those people around us to cheer us on and push us forward. Day by day, year by year, I know that I am growing in courage and in faith. And I know that God is using me and the influence that He's giving me for such a time as this. I know that it's going to be something that I'm going to keep struggling with, but keep having to step out in courage with if I want to keep living the transformed life. I really want to challenge you this morning, if that's you. If you're sitting here going, that's all well and good for her, she doesn't know me, she doesn't know my circumstances, She doesn't know my levels of fear or why I'm afraid or why I'm not stepping out in faith. I want to challenge that. Because God wants to bring transformation. He wants to bring freedom to every single one of us. Whatever is holding us back, He wants to bring freedom to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to His power at work within us, wants to transform you? He has called you on purpose, for a purpose, for such a time as this. And He wants you to step into all that He has for you. You know, I realized one day in church, we were singing the song that we sang last night, No Longer Slaves. And it used to be the anthem of my life. I would be singing that song in fear and trepidation, crying out to God, I don't want to be a slave to fear anymore. And it was probably a year or two ago that we were singing it again in church, and I'm singing away, and I suddenly realized I was singing the song from a place of victory, not desperation. Was fear still there? Yeah, a little bit. But it didn't have control. I was actually standing in victory as I sang that. I could literally declare, I am no longer a slave to fear, because fear is finally in the passenger seat. You know, I love this story that when Peter gets overwhelmed with fear, when he allows it to become bigger than the circumstances surrounding him, when he allows his fear to overcome him, you know, Jesus doesn't condemn him or criticize him, point to him and say, Peter, you're a failure. But what does it say? It says Jesus immediately reached out a hand to rescue Peter. You know, Jesus speaks a word into Peter that even in his failure, speaks a greater faith. You of little faith, come on, Peter. Don't you know me better than that? Don't you know that I'd never let you down? I would never let you drown. I would never let you be too overcome. And because of that, Peter went on to greater and greater steps of faith, stepping out with courage in the power of Christ within him, to the point where he too died on a cross because of his faith. But God is constantly doing that for me. He's helping me to take greater, greater steps of faith. He is kind. He is faithful. Do you know that Jesus today? The faithful Jesus who will never let you down. And when I'm overwhelmed and when the fears and the doubts creep back in, because they do, He's faithful to remind me of the greater truth of His power and His ability to overcome. When you make the choice to get out of the boat, you will sometimes fail. Trust me. Risk always holds the possibility of failure. There's a storm out there in the world, and your faith isn't going to be perfect. But I take heart from Peter's story, and I know that when I fail, when I allow fear to creep back in, Jesus is going to be there to pick me back up. I'm not going to fail alone. I'm not going to drown. He is ultimately wholly adequate to save me. And every now and then, I'm going to get to walk on water with Jesus. I'm going to experience the incredible joy of knowing that I've answered Jesus' call to come and see Him do some amazing things in and through me. I don't know about you, but I want to walk on water more. I don't want to be one of the 11 that never get to experience what it is to step out in courage and faith and see Jesus do some incredible things. I wonder if you could just close your eyes with me now as I finish up. God, I pray that You would speak courage into us right now. What's the next yes that God is calling you to? What's the next challenge that God is putting on your heart? What's the next step of faith that he's asking you to take? And often those things aren't big things like walking on water. It might be simply going next door and knocking and inviting somebody to church. It might be talking to the mum in the playground who looks upset. It might be a career choice. It might be a call to study that you've been ignoring. It might be God calling you to use your gifts to serve in the family of God, and you've been too afraid, like me, to say yes. What is the next yes God is calling you to? Will you choose to do it afraid? Will you choose to say, Jesus, whatever you ask, I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to do it with a little bit of fear and trepidation, because I know that you have more for me. And I know that you want me to grow. And I know that you have not finished with me yet. There is still something for me to do. Will you say yes and do it afraid with me? Let's stand together. You know, if that is you this afternoon, I just want to take the opportunity to offer prayer to you, that God would fill you with courage to say the next yes and just choose to do it afraid. Because it's really important, like I said, that we surround ourselves with the right people who encourage us, who spur us on to greater steps of faith, who help us to get out of the boat, who cheer us on and push us forward. And if that's you this afternoon and you're feeling like God is calling you to something that's greater than yourself and greater than where your faith is at the moment, we would love to have people stand around you and pray courage for you, to cheer you on and help in whatever way that we can. So can I encourage you as this item, I think it is that right?
Yeah.
Yep. So Kate is going to come and sing over us and share her gift. And I love that. I think anybody who can stand up in front of people and sing solo, that's a great step of faith right there. But Kate, thank you that you are going, not that Kate, this Kate, wrong Kate. Okay, I'm meeting Kates all over the place. Sorry, I couldn't see you there going, no, not me. This Kate is going to sing over us. And I just want to invite anybody who is willing to pray just to come down the front here, pray for people, come down the front so that you're not alone when you come down here. And you can pray alongside. Thank you. Thank you. So you can pray alongside people as they come. Just pray courage. Pray for that next yes. And pray that God would fill you with his power. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Come on down if that's you right now.